The Report, a daily look at the significant issues of our time from an experienced conservative perspective. Mrs. Schlafly is president of Eagle Forum, a leading force in the pro-family movement since 1972. And now, here's Mrs. Schlafly.
Only 11 years have passed since Massachusetts became the first state to legalize same-sex marriage. In the hundreds of years of American history and in hundreds of years of Western civilization before that, there had been no question in mainstream society about the fact that marriage is for one man and one woman. Now we're told that to oppose same-sex marriage is to be on the wrong side of history. My new book, called Who Killed the American Family, explains who is responsible for this dramatic change. First, we should remember that same-sex marriage did not come from a change in public opinion, but from the rulings of supremacist judges abusing their power. Massachusetts adopted gay marriage only because a majority of one on the state Supreme Court mandated it. Those judicial supremacists were inspired by Justice Anthony Kennedy of the U.S. Supreme Court, who in a previous case drew on European rather than U.S. law and overturned precedent to throw out the Texas anti-sodomy law. Kennedy struck again last year with his decision tossing out the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. Kennedy and the Massachusetts supremacist judges made the ridiculous assertion that there is no rational basis for marriage to be limited to a man and a woman. They ignored centuries of practice and the results of numerous studies that show how important traditional marriage is for the well-being of the children. Knowing how at odds same-sex marriage is with our legal and cultural traditions, we should not be surprised that some homosexual activists are trying to get rid of marriage altogether. Same-sex marriage is not about granting equality of human rights. Gays are not denied any human rights. Same-sex marriage is about getting rid of the traditional values and institutions that have guided the Western world, including America.
In her new book, Who Killed the American Family, Phyllis Schlafly answers that very question. Judges, feminists, psychologists, school districts, college professors, and politicians looking for votes are all to blame. Radio listeners can receive an autographed copy of the book at a special discount at eagleforum.org. That's eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER20. 2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org.
Get the hardest hitting rebel newspaper of them all by mail anywhere in the CSA or U.S. For the next 12 issues, send $25 cash, check, or money order to TFF, P.O. Box 385, Silver Hill, Alabama 36576.
Welcome to the Glenn Pav Show, Righting the Right, broadcasting nationwide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Righting the Right is your chance to call in and comment on constitutional, conservative, Christian, or capitalist issues. Call in now at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Now here's your host, Patriot Glenn Pav.
Good morning to you. It's 7 minutes after the hour on the Republic Broadcasting Network, the Glenn Pav Show, Righting the Right. Weekly verse, but the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Weekly thought, man cannot live without self-control, from Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and the thought from Isaac Singer. First impressions, this from Tribal Beat, hat tip to them, by Drea Rasmussen. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And this speaks of the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, which is our weekly verse. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Taking a deep breath of sticky air, Judy puts on her gloves. She and her husband, Trevor, enter the house and begin hauling rubbish out the door. The clinging heat of the Philippine jungle is even worse inside. Rats have left their mark everywhere. Judy cringes with every termite-gnawed piece of furniture Trevor lifts, expecting something to jump out at her. The pungent smell of dampness lurks in every corner. This will be their temporary home in the Bonobo tribe. Suddenly, the Clarks find themselves completely surrounded by a mob of villagers. They push into the house, looking in the windows, causing a feeling of oppression that Judy and Trevor haven't felt before. The Clarks look at each other, fighting the panic, threatening to make them flee. The people see frisbees, and if the missionaries don't take control, things will get out of hand. Above the uproar, Trevor and Judy's voices are heard speaking a language they have worked hard to attain. The trade language, used by the people to buy and sell, is quickly understood. Soon the villagers are helping to haul out the ruined cabinets and clutter. The missionaries are relieved to get the house cleared out. The tribal people are happy to receive firewood. The situation turns out for good on both sides. The next day, the Clarks start a bonfire to burn what remains. The villagers gather around to see what the new white people are doing. Judy feels many entertained eyes on her reddened face. Finishing up the inside of the house, her heart is encouraged. One lady stays and helps her to the end, laughing with her as she practices the trade language. Judy already begins to feel at home. It was a stinking, hot, dirty job from beginning to end, but seeing how much language we could use was so worth all the effort. The thought of moving in is not as daunting as it used to be, says Judy. Well, first impressions. True stories of the Tribal Beat. And that's a look at the news from the Christian Look at the Book series with you this morning. Now let's take a look at the conservative response, the conservative Christian perspective of the news. Obama is a failed president, had tipped Sam Rally. The list of people who believe President Barack Obama is calling the right shots from the Oval Office appears to be shrinking daily. He's losing favor with American voters, former administration officials, and even leftist pundits. A majority of Americans believe the president is a failure. An IBD/TIPP poll out this week finds that a 53% of Americans categorize Obama's tenure in the White House as a failure, compared to 41% who rate the president as a success. 6% of those polled couldn't decide. Among independents, Obama is viewed as a failure 58% of the time. Young Americans 18 to 24 are the most likely to say Obama is a successful president at 77%, but Obama does the poorest among the 25 to 44 year olds currently battling economic troubles and a bad job situation. They call the president a failure 59% of the time. The poll also finds that voters' remorse is on the rise. IBD notes only 43% say they would vote for Obama if the 2012 election were held today. 49% say they'd vote for Mitt Romney. Only 46 of those states that Obama carried 2 years ago say they'd do so again, given another chance. Former Defense Secretary Leon Panetta thinks Obama has given up. Panetta, joining MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell Tuesday, said that Obama should be tackling the nation's problems head-on in the remaining years of his presidency. Instead, the former defense and CIA official said Obama has given up. He approaches things like a law professor in presenting a logic of his position. There's nothing wrong with that. We want to have a president who thinks across through the issues. My experience in Washington is that logic alone doesn't work. Once you lay out a position, you're going to roll up your sleeves and you have to fight to get it done. That is key in Washington. In order for presidents to succeed, they cannot just, when they run into problems, step back and give up. There is a feeling, and I have a feeling, that the leadership and the president have given up on the big issues facing this country, whether it's immigration or a budget deal or infrastructure funding or trade or energy. There's a sense that you can't deal with that. This country needs that. They can't give up. The Washington Post's Dana Milbank on Monday noted that Panetta is one of many Obama subordinates currently lashing out at the president in a column titled, Leon Panetta, Other Former Obama Subordinates Show Stunning Disloyalty. Whatever causes Obama's difficulty inspiring loyalty, Milbank writes, his failure is delighting conservatives and Republicans indeed. Even Pierce Morgan wants to know what Obama doing in the first place. Morgan took Obama to task. The terrible imagery provided to America is due to the president's apparent aloofness in a recent exchange with Fox's Sean Hannity. Morgan, like other administrative critics, point to a lack of leadership in a discussion about ISIS. Here's a partial transcript of the conversation. Morgan said, and it's that lack of decision-making that I think leads to the issues we now face. Hannity replied, you know what frustrates me? Fort Hood is still officially in this country an example of workplace violence. What happened in Oklahoma? You've watched, you've read this guy's Facebook page. It's all about jihad. They won't say it was an act of terrorism either. ISIS is not Islamic according to the president, and we're not at war with ISIS even though we're bombing them. Morgan replied, and this is all just nonsense rhetoric because ISIS clearly is an Islamic fundamentalist organization. It's a terror group, and when they start beheading American and British citizens in these gruesome snuff movies that they were making and releasing them to the world taunting, it's horrible. Taunting these countries. It's not good enough to simply say, yes, I'm really upset about this beheading, and then 7 minutes later, as Obama did, go to a golf course and be seen goofing around on the first tee. That's really hit home to me, said Morgan. Someone did a survey this week. They counted up to the numbers of hours that Obama has been playing golf since he was a president. It's about 850 hours if you base it on a five-hour round. Hannity replied, more than the time he spent in his intelligence briefings. Morgan said he attended 42% of his daily briefings. Total hours of that is 650 or something. So that's about 200 hours less in intelligence briefings than on the golf course. He spent 200 more hours whacking a golf ball than attending his daily briefings. Now, it's not as simplistic as that. obviously he would get other briefings, but such terrible imagery to me, and I've basically been reasonably supportive of him. What the heck is he doing to groups like ISIS and others intent on causing America and British serious harm? To answer Morgan's question, Obama spent Tuesday afternoon fundraising for Democrats via the USA Today. After a morning of meetings at the White House, Obama will travel to Democratic Party fundraising events in New York and Connecticut. Two afternoon events in New York City will benefit the Democratic National Committee. After those, Obama heads to a private home in Greenwich, Connecticut, for a fundraiser on behalf of a Democratic senatorial campaign committee. The president, it seems, is a better salesman than he is an executive. Well, let's look at Obama as a failed president, and many people are getting the picture, finally. Well, we'll be back with more conservative constitutional perspective on the news right after these messages on the Glenn Pabst Show, 16 minutes after the hour, prime time, drive time. Let's keep riding the right.
Come to Finca Baiano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair at bugoutpanama.com.
There is only one detox product that stands out above the rest, Micro Plant Powder, and it's available only at hempusa.org. Micro Plant Powder does wonders by removing toxins from the body. Detoxification is a vital process that's extremely important for restoring your health. Micro Plant Powder is available in 8 different formulations, and we can help you choose the one that's perfect for your lifestyle. Micro Plant Powder is 100% chemical-free, non-GMO, anti-inflammatory, gluten-free, and packaged by hand in BPA-free containers. HempUSA.org wants you to be healthy, and Micro Plant Powder is one of the best ways we know to detoxify your body from head to toe, all for about $10 a month. Take back your life and enjoy living again with Micro Plant Powder. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Micro Plant Powder, available only at hempusa.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Get the hardest hitting rebel newspaper of them all by mail, anywhere in the CSA or U.S. For the next 12 issues, send $25 cash, check, or money order to TFF, P.O. Box 385, Silver Hill, Alabama 36576.
We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. Generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous. We were made to be courageous. We were warriors on the front lines, standing unafraid. But now we're watchers on the sidelines while our families slip away. Courage, you were made for so much more. Let the pounding of our hearts cry, we will serve the Lord. We were made to be courageous, and we're taking back the fight.
Welcome back to the Glenn Pav Show, 20 minutes after the hour, as we look at the conservative perspective of the news. Headline, judges hit with silver bullet to kill Obamacare. This by WorldNet Daily's Bob Unruh had tipped to him. The Full District of Columbia Appeals Court is being asked to rule on a case against Obamacare after a three-judge panel decided the U.S. Senate can initiate a tax law, even though the U.S. Constitution requires that all such measures originate in the House, the U.S. House. WorldNet Daily reported 2 months ago when Judge Judith Rogers reasoned for the three-judge panel that if the aim of Obamacare is to force people to buy government-approved health insurance, the hundreds of billions of dollars in tax increases are incidental and allowable. But in a petition for a hearing before the full court, the Pacific Legal Foundation said the issue is too important to drop. The case targets that individual mandate payments, which already were declared by the U.S. Supreme Court to be a tax. It argues the legislation creating the payments started in the Senate, not the House, as required by Article 1, Section 7 of the Constitution. Because the issues in this case are so important for all Americans, the Pacific Legal Foundation has a responsibility to seek review by the full D.C. Circuit and ultimately by the U.S. Supreme Court if necessary, said Pacific Legal Foundation principal attorney Paul Byrd II. Not only is everyone affected by Obamacare and its tax and regulatory burden, but we all have a stake in the integrity of the Constitution and its procedural protections of taxpayers. He continued, the founders had good reason for vesting the power to launch taxes with the House. They knew the power to tax can be abused, and they wanted to limit that danger by giving the primary authority to the chamber closest to the people. Unfortunately, the three-judge panel that ruled against PLF's Obamacare challenge has undermined that protection for the public by announcing a disturbing new exception to it. The court panel said that if the main object of a tax is something other than raising revenue, that part of the Constitution doesn't apply. Beard said the loophole allows all sorts of taxes that could be given a pass from having to start in the House. After all, many taxes have purposes other than simply to raise revenue. Cigarette taxes, for example, are designed also to affect behavior. WorldNet Daily reported PLF attorney Timothy Sandifer said he expects the case will end up in the Supreme Court. The Pacific Legal Foundation's challenge to Obama involves fundamental constitutional principles and protections for all of us taxpayers and for everyone who is covered by the tax and regulatory burdens of Obamacare. Americans may not be subjected to new taxes by the federal government if those taxes don't start in the House, the chamber closest to the people. That's the principle underlying our lawsuit, and it's so basic to our constitutional framework that the case ultimately deserves a judgment by the nation's highest court. Well, we'll see how this pans out in the days ahead. Obviously, the judicial department is corrupt. The judicial department, just like the executive department, is corrupt and taking on, usurping more power than their branch. The judiciary is to interpret laws that come through to them based on the Constitution, not rewrite or misinform people and abuse the Constitution whatsoever. From Philip Hamburger, he's a Columbia Law School professor, and he spoke at the Hillsdale College. He spoke on the topic, the history and danger of administrative law. This is relevant to what we've just been saying. He said there are many complaints about administrative law, including that it is arbitrary, that it is a burden on the economy, that it is an intrusion on freedom. The question he addresses is to whether administrative law is unlawful, and he will focus on constitutional history. Those who forget history, it is often said, are doomed to repeat it. And this is what has happened in the United States with the rise of administrative law, or more accurately, administrative power. Administrative law is a product of the 19th and 20th centuries that developed to deal with the problems of modern society in all its complexity. The framers of the Constitution could not have anticipated it, and the Constitution could not have barred it. What exactly do I mean when I say administrative law or administrative power? Well, put simply, administrative acts are binding or constraining edicts that come not through law, through the Congress, but through other mechanisms or pathways. A rule constraining Americans results in pollution, restricting how citizens can use their land, for example, not through an act of Congress, but through an administrative edict. We can call these executive orders or regulations by bureaucrats. The Constitution offers two avenues of binding power, acts of Congress and acts of the courts. Administrative acts by executive agencies are a way of driving off-road, exercising power through other pathways. And the executive branch is where it happens with executive orders. The Constitution authorizes three types of power. The legislative power is located in Congress. The executive power, located in the presidency and his subordinates. And then the judicial power, located in the courts. Now, absolutism was their justification for following through with administrative power in the executive and judicial branches. Three central elements of absolutism are relevant: extra legal power, supra legal power, and the consolidation of power. Philip Hamburger speaks of the rise of this absolutism in America. He says the United States Constitution echoes this. Early Americans were very familiar with absolute power. They feared this extra legal, supra legal, and consolidated power because they knew from English history that such power could evade the law and override all legal rights. In this way, over the past 120 years, Americans have reestablished the very sort of power that the Constitution most centrally forbade. In sum, the conventional understanding of administrative law is utterly mistaken. It is wrong on the history and oblivious to the danger. That danger is absolutism, extra legal, supra legal, and consolidated power. And the danger matters because administrative power revives this absolutism. You see, the Constitution carefully barred this threat, but constitutional doctrine has since legitimatized this dangerous sort of power. It therefore is necessary to go back to basics. Among other things, we should no longer settle for some vague notion of rule of law, understood as something that allows the delegation of legislative and judicial powers to administrative agencies. We should demand rule through law and rule under law. Even more fundamentally, we need to reclaim the vocabulary of law. Rather than speak of administrative law, we should speak of administrative power, indeed, of absolute power, or more concretely, of extra-legal, supra-legal, and consolidated power. Then we at least can begin to recognize the danger. Well said by Philip Hamburger, speaking of when the judiciary and the executive branches of our country unconstitutionally legislate instead of our Congress and form laws when they have no right to do it constitutionally. We'll be back with more on the conservative's perspective on the news on the Glenn Papp Show after these important messages. It's coming up to 29 minutes after the hour, drive time, prime time on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Let's keep righting the right.
Your money, what is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value, can be stored securely and are easily accessible, just like a savings account, but a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
And now here's a look at the lighter side of politics with Jody Miller from News Busted.
Hey everybody, welcome to News Busted. I'm Jody Miller. Let's get started. Once again, many new polls show President Obama's approval rating at record lows. To give you an idea of how unpopular Obama is, his new Secret Service code name is Ebola. It's been learned that the second Ebola-infected nurse from Dallas contacted the CDC to ask if she could get on a plane with a fever, and she was given the green light. So it seems the CDC actually stands for Centers for Disease Circulation. Last week, President Obama canceled his appearance at a Democratic fundraiser in New Jersey, which appears to be the first action he's ever taken to get money out of politics. President Obama also called off a campaign rally for Connecticut Governor Dan Malloy. Naturally, the president was disappointed, but Governor Malloy was ecstatic. MSNBC had record low ratings last quarter, but the network remains dedicated to objective journalism, according to its program director, Barack Obama. In other cable television news, CNN has canceled the series Crossfire. Network executives made the decision after realizing the show was still on the air. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg has donated $25 million to the CDC to combat the spread of Ebola. So the next time you get caught using Facebook at work, you can tell your boss, "I'm not goofing off, I'm saving lives." And finally, an Alaskan motorist is recovering from injuries after he collided with a moose on the highway. Turns out the accident was not the man's fault. The moose was texting. Thanks for watching News Busted, everybody. I'm Jody Miller. Make sure you subscribe to our videos on YouTube. We'll catch you next time.
Well, that's a look at the lighter side of the news with Jody Miller of News Busted. Hello, my friend. I'm Glenn Pav of the Glenn Pav Show, Righting the Right, heard weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. That's prime time on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You could also listen live on the web at writingtheright.com, spelled R-I-G-H-T both times. That's writingtheright.com. And join me this week with my guests and co-hosts. That's the Glenn Pav Show, weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, prime time on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And folks, let's keep righting the right.
I'll keep my freedom. I'll keep my guns. Try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on working. Try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change.
Welcome back to the Glenn Pap Show on Drive Time Republic Broadcasting Network. And that is 34 minutes after the hour here right now on the conservative perspective of the news. This file by Molly Nickel. Now, she is a satirist, and she goes to at mollynickel.com, M-O-L-L-I. Nickel, N-I-C-K-E-L-L.com, and she writes with satirical values, but she also gives you something that you have unexpectedly received. It's almost like Paul Harvey's, you know, the rest of the story. You hear it, but then here's the rest of the story. Well, she writes, "Dear Patriot, this week my column at The Blaze is slightly delayed, so thought to send you something to amuse you, perhaps. Six trivia questions. Be honest, it's kind of fun or revealing. If you don't know the answer, make your best guess. Answer all of these questions, no cheating, before looking at the answers. And no, the answers to all of these questions isn't Barack Obama. Who said this? Number one, are you ready? Write down your answer. We're going to take things away from you on behalf of the common good. Was it Nancy Pelosi, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Barack Obama, or none of the above? We're going to take things away from you on behalf of the common good. Pelosi, Hitler, Stalin, Obama, or none of the above? Here's question number two for you folks. It's time for a new beginning, for an end to government of the few, by the few, and for the few, to replace it with shared responsibility for shared prosperity. Was that Lenin, Mussolini, Castro, Obama, or none? I'll say it again. It's time for a new beginning, for an end to government of the few, by the few, and for the few, to replace it with shared responsibility for shared prosperity. Lenin, Mussolini, Castro, Obama, or none of the above. How you doing so far, folks? Here's question number three. We can't just let business go on as usual, and that means something has to be taken away from some people. Who said that? The Tooth Fairy, Joseph Goebbels, Boris Yeltsin, Barack Obama, or none of these? I'll say it again. We can't just let business go on as usual, and that means something has to be taken away from some people. The Tooth Fairy, Goebbels, Yeltsin, Obama, or none of the above. Number four, we have to build a political consensus, and that requires people to give up a little bit of their own in order to create this common ground. Was that Chairman Mao, or Dirty Harry Reid, or Kim Jong-il II, or Obama, or none of the above? I'll repeat it. We have to build a political consensus, and that requires people to give up a little bit of their own in order to create this common ground. Was it Mao, Harry Reid, Kim Jong-il, Obama, or none of these? Number five, here's a short one. I certainly think the free market has failed. Was that Karl Marx, Lenin, Uncle Joe Foot and Mouth Biden, Obama, or none of these? He said, I certainly think the free market has failed. Was it Marx, Lenin, Biden, Obama, or none of the above? And finally, the sixth one. I think it's time to send a clear message to what has become the most profitable sector in the entire economy, that they are being watched. Was it James Clapper, Milosevic, Saddam Hussein, Obama, or none of the above? Again, here's what the quote is. I think it's time to send a clear message to what has become the most profitable sector in the entire economy, that they are being watched. Was that Clapper, Milosevic, Hussein, Obama, or none of the above? Okay, you got your six answers? Now, the real surprise, the answer to all six of them is none of the above. All the above socialistic, I'm coming after you freedom statements were made by Hillary Clinton. That's right. Is she scary or what? Listen to these statements that Hillary has said. We're going to take things away from you on behalf of the common good. She said, it's time for a new beginning, for an end to government of the few, by the few, and for the few, to replace it with shared responsibility for shared prosperity. That's redistribution of wealth. She said, we can't just let business go on as usual, and that means something has to be taken away from some people. She said, we have to build a political consensus, and that requires people to give up a little bit of their own in order to create this common ground. She said, I certainly think the free market has failed. And finally, she said, I think it's time to send a clear message to what has become the most profitable sector in the entire economy, that they are being watched. Okay? They are being watched. Hillary Clinton, it's scary, my friends. Oh, and by the way, one more thing that Molly Nickel, in her satire, in her humor, and yet the truth really hits home, she writes, Obama finally has spoken up regarding beheadings. And there's a sign with Obama smiling and carrying the sign that says, ISIL is not Islamic. If you like your head, you can keep your head. Oof. This truth shouldn't be funny, because it's true. And yet, I encourage you to pass it around with everyone in your personal universe, my friend. If you like your head, you can keep your head. Be well and be brave, my friends. As Molly Nickel has ended her satire for today. 40 minutes after the hour, as we continue on with the conservative perspective of the news, this from Capitol Update. U.S. Congressman Randy Forbes, a Republican of Virginia, says, your money is going towards this. What is this? Well, back in September, the Government Accountability Office released a report on abortion coverage in Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. The report was requested by House congressional leaders and demonstrates that through subsidies, taxpayer dollars are going to pay for over 1,000 health insurance plans that include abortion. The Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, includes provisions requiring that if a plan covers abortion in cases other than rape and incest or to save the life of the mother, a separate payment for abortion and abortion surcharge must be collected. However, according to the report, this requirement is not being strictly followed. This is yet another example, my friends, of the administration's repeated failure to provide basic transparency about abortion coverage. In response, we've supported the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act, H.R. 7, which makes permanent restrictions on the federal funding of abortions. It also incorporates provisions of the Abortion Insurance Full Disclosure Act, H.R. 3279, which has been co-sponsored by Randy Forbes, U.S. Congressman, Republican, Virginia. He has co-sponsored this, and it's to provide full disclosure and transparency of abortion coverage to consumers who are shopping for health insurance plans on the exchanges. This bill passed the House of Representatives by a vote of 227 to 188. My friends, abortion is a part of a part of Obamacare. Don't accept it. If you're going and you're having to go for Obamacare, do not accept that particular insurance coverage if it says abortions are premiums are taken out of your premium. Just find another one. God bless you as you search. Now, my friends, in defense of social conservatism, the case of continuing has been filed by the Florida Family Policy Council. Who are they? Well, they are the flagship organization of Florida's pro-family team. It's a 501c3 educational organization, which is the state's premier social conservative group advocating for life, advocating for traditional marriage, advocating for the nuclear family, as well as our first liberties. You can learn more at the Florida Family Council or flfamily.org. Now, in that, they have the Florida Action, the Strong Marriage Florida.org, and the Florida Family Action PAC, the Political Action Committee of Florida Family Action. And they have put together John Stemberger, who I know personally, who has been nationally renowned in the area of defending the family, a talk about a defense of social conservatism, that is, conservatism in social issues like abortion, social issues like the family, religious liberty, a focus on the basics. Well, he writes, today's evangelicals are at a crossroads. Let's talk about that when we come back 44 minutes after the hour. This is significant. This is the crossroads that we're going to talk about. Article by John Stemberger on the Glenn Pav Show. Let's keep writing the right like they do.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy One and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's EscapeHarassment.com, Strategy One, to be free from the IRS. EscapeHarassment.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Glenn Pav, President and CEO of the Conservative Talk Network and the Glenn Pav Show. I've coined the phrase "righting the right" to encourage us to move our country back to the right of center on the political and moral spectrum. Each letter, R-I-G-H-T, explains our stance. The R stands for reformation, the I for integrity, the G for godliness, the H for honor, the T stands for truth. Truth can set you free, my friend. The truth is that the founders recognized God as the source of liberty and law. The truth is our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. The truth is, in the distant past, our presidents, Congress, and state and local officials have acknowledged God. The truth is, even the courts have declared that we are a Christian nation. The truth is, American schools were formed to advance the Christian faith. The truth is, foreign nations acknowledge our Christian roots and heritage. So let's live in light of this truth. The result is freedom. This is Glenn Pav of the Conservative Talk Network saying, with the truth, let's keep righting the right. Hello, my friend. I'm Glenn Pav of the Glenn Pav Show, Righting the Right. I find that if I help a senior citizen walk safely across the street at a busy intersection, I find myself safely across as well. So I endeavor to help those individuals and families that are willing to help themselves. I believe it is very important that you consider an investment alternative than the unstable dollar, namely gold in small amounts. I've discovered a win-win combination, safe investment in gold for you and your family, and helping support the Glenn Pav Show, Righting the Right radio expansion. The plan is simple. Simply register for free on my website, writingtheright.com. Then discover what product or plan you and your family would like to invest in yourself. To learn more, go to writingtheright.com and click on the homepage icon, Gold Savings Club. It's free to join. So help support the radio show and take care of your family at the same time. It's a solid golden opportunity. Count on it. Let's cross the street together.
Welcome back to the Glenn Pav Show, Righting the Right. We are here with a conservative response of the news and a Christian perspective of it as well. In defense of social conservatism, John Stemberger, the Florida Family Policy Council president and director, said today's evangelicals are at a crossroads. There is a movement afoot among more moderate evangelicals advocating that conservative Christians adjust our policy focus away from traditional pro-family issues, including abortion and same-sex marriage, to compassion issues such as global warming, poverty, and AIDS. On the other side of the ideological spectrum, the Leave Me Alone coalition of libertarian and fiscal conservatives assert that the new core issues on our agenda should include immigration, taxes, and tort reform. Both of these two movements are calling for change in the scope and substance of our agenda after three decades of Christian activism. What then should be our response? The answer is found in returning to the first principles of why we are social conservatives and to again affirm the primacy of family in matters of public policy. Let's answer the question, what is a social conservative? The hallmark of a social conservative in the American political context is a primary commitment to protecting traditional marriage, family, and moral structure in culture and public policy. Social conservatives are willing to draw a line in the political sand over certain core issues, those that so fundamental to a civilized society that we disqualify public officials if they do not support these basic human values. It's clear that life and marriage have been given too much disqualification issues. But are there other fundamental issues our agenda should include? God plan for social order. As Christians, we should be about comprehensively discerning God's social order for all areas of life. In many matters of ethics and policy, the scripture speaks with clarity. Yet other issues leave us debating incremental judgments about issues of prudence, stewardship, necessary boundaries in granting rights, regulating behavior and punishing crime, paying restitution, public funding, legal protection, or due process. While all these issues are moral issues, we cannot speak with the same moral strength on how to fund hurricane relief or immigration policy as we do abortion and same-sex marriage. Why focus on the family? As with any movement, effectiveness requires sustained focus. If we attempt to be experts on every issue and fight every battle, we'll lose the cohesiveness of our constituency and weaken our prophetic voice. We'll also be less effective in the final result. Effective strategy requires well-protected priorities. The issues surrounding marriage, family, and life itself must remain the primary focus of our movement as social conservatives. From the Florida Family Policy Council, John Stemberger. But they continue to limit the focal primarily to family issues. There are at least five good reasons. Number one, families are the first and most basic form of government. Number two, our opposition seeks to redefine the human experience itself. Number three, family breakdown contributes to every other domestic policy problem. Number four, the direct relationship between family breakdown and government growth. And number five, who are we? Who we are is more important than how much we get. So let's take a look at some of these together as we close out our show today. Families are the first and most basic form of government. Theologian Abraham Kuyper was the first to communicate the biblical concept of sphere sovereignty. Sphere sovereignty. Within society, there are various institutions, all of which have their own authority, limitations, and purpose. The three primary spheres are family, church, and civil government. Of the three, family is clearly the most important sphere. Families were established in creation as the foundational institution for ordering human behavior and were the first and most basic form of government given by God. Families shape and develop character, values, and traditions, and they socialize the little human beings we call children. Most importantly, family is the primary sphere in which personal responsibility or self-government is learned. The second one, our opposition seeks to redefine the human experience itself. Our opposition does not have mere marginal disagreement with us on certain domestic policies. Many are seeking to redefine the human experience itself. What was morally unthinkable just a generation ago is not only socially acceptable, but is, in many cases, also protected by the full force of law and newly discovered rights created by judicial fiat. Their worldview is deeply rooted in personal autonomy, moral relativism, social Darwinism, homosexualizing the culture, secularizing the public square, and escaping from all social reforms and norms. This unbiblical thinking barely resembles any vision of human civilization we have historically known, and the implications to the family are far-reaching and devastating. By the way, that's why I am going to be talking in the second hour on the Christian life and character of the civil institutions of the United States and how our country was formed with those moral Christian values all along. And we have abandoned those, and we have catered to the worldview rooted in this personal autonomy, this moral relativism, this social Darwinism. Also, family breakdown contributes to every other domestic policy problem. It's a truth. And the direct relationship between family breakdown and government growth is there. It appears we've lost Reagan's battle against big government. One of the primary reasons for the massive growth of government in the past 50 years has been the failure of the family to function in its proper role. It's easy to demonstrate the direct and corresponding relationship between the brokenness of families and the growth of taxation and government regulation. The family is God's original Department of Health and Human Services, my friends. When families fail, the government steps in to save what's decaying. The state-sponsored salvation requires greater taxation and a growing bureaucracy to sustain this massive social safety net. We must work for cultural, policy, and legal structures that create incentives for families, and by extension, churches and communities, to embrace their rightful place as the decentralized and personal caretakers for those in need. Who we are is more important than how much we get, my friends. Economics, welfare, taxes, disaster relief, and insurance are all important issues that must be vigorously debated, but these issues will always be with us. Public policy must be about more than who gets what. Social conservatives understand that moral and social and cultural issues transcend economics. Social and moral issues define us as a people. Nothing is more important to the destiny of a people than its cultural heritage. The very social fabric of our culture is preserved by focusing on the family in matters of policy. One of the chief objections William Wilberforce faced in Parliament to ending the slave trade was that ending the trade would damage the economy. Doing the right things in life is always more important than getting the right things in life. Concerning national security, the new pro-family issue, leading conservative evangelicals are now arguing that national security should become a new core issue for pro-family social issues. Simply put, if an Al-Qaeda dirty bomb takes out an entire major American city, what good is advocacy for the unborn in view of such attack? The fact of the matter is this. We must recognize that we now have enemies, both foreign and domestic, who must be taken seriously. If we limit ourselves to consensus issues like radical Islam and the war on terror, I fully agree. National security must become a new core issue for social conservatives in light of this now clear and present danger. Finally, what if we succeed? If we ended abortion in this country and protected marriage in all 50 states, would God then be concerned about other issues like the poor, the economy, the environment, and other justice issues? It's an interesting question. What's your answer, my friend? Thank you for listening to the Glenn Pabst Show on the Conservative Talk Network. It's coming up to 57 and a half minutes after the hour. We've looked at the conservative and Christian perspective on the news the first hour. The second hour, join me for the Christian life and character of the civil institutions of the United States. You will be shocked at what our historians, what our Puritans, what our pilgrims, and what our first fathers of our country colonized and what they did in our country. Join me the second hour on the Glenn Pabst Show, Righting the Right. We'll be back after these important messages.
If you'd like to learn more about Righting the Right and the Glenn Pabst Show, go to writingtheright.com. Join us every weekday on the Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Remember to download the podcast at writingtheright.com. Until then, this is Glenn Pabst, your Patriot host, saying, keep writing the right. Oh, no.